Folks, it's really lovely to be with you this morning. I left Craigavon, the weather wasn't too bad. It was a bit of an eye-opener then on the way down. It reminded me of home in Scotland, so it gave me a little taste of what I'd come from. Helen, thank you for the warm welcome. I don't know what you were nervous about this morning. If I was Seamus, I would be very nervous. These folks might be punting him out and having you take over. So thank you. And to all the ladies of the PW for all your work in putting the service together this morning. I'm the minister up in Craigavon Presbyterian Church. If you know Rushmere Shopping Centre, for the ladies, you'll probably know it. For the gentlemen, you'll be tearing your hair out about it, about the amount that's spent in it. We're a church that are grateful to you for your support, and you mightn't even realise that you support us. Craigavon Presbyterian is a church that's underneath the sort of control of the Council for Mission Ireland. It was a congregation that had really struggled and declined in numbers. And a few years ago, the Council for Mission Ireland came in and sort of restructured it as a church for replanting or regrowth. So I'm not really a proper minister. I pretend to be a minister. I'm more of a sort of community evangelist type role within Craigavon. And you folks help pay my wages through United Appeal, and you help support us as a church. We couldn't carry on as we are in Craigavon without the support of the wider church. So genuinely, at the start this morning, I want to thank you for what you give to United Appeal, because it helps our mission work in Craigavon, and we've seen growth, and we're, God willing, going to be able to be self-sustaining in the next 2 or 3 years, which is wonderful. You also support work through United Appeal across the globe. So see us in Craigavon as part of your mission. And on behalf of a congregation that needed a foot up, thank you for giving us that foot up. I'm also one of Seamus's year group. I studied along with Seamus and Big Trevor up the road there. I joked about how it was studying in the loosest of terms. I got my degree at Union College more for good attendance than for hard work or anything like that. But this town's blessed with two super men who love Jesus and follow him and minister for him here. So give Seamus and the family and the other local churches your blessing, and smother them in prayer. Ministry can be, although you're in front of people a lot of time, really lonely and challenging thing. It's something God calls folks like myself to do, so we get on and do it. But it can be challenging. And knowing people are there supporting in prayer. And also, see every now and again, when you're encouraged, tell Seamus. Because so many people sort of don't mention the positives to the minister. They just mention the negatives. He's not asked me to say this, but I'm saying to you what I hope someone will say in my church someday. Give him loads of encouragement. Give him loads of words of that was great, or we were so blessed this morning, or God really spoke to me. And when you do that with a minister, they flourish and they grow, and you'll be blessed even more. So we have a superman here. I have a lot of time for Seamus, and it's my privilege to be in his pulpit this morning. For wee theme for the morning, it's your PW theme for the year, grow and bear fruit. This year I've been doing the opposite of that. I've been on Slimming World, trying to not grow but to contract, and trying to eat more fruit and less chocolate. That's a whole other sermon in itself. But we've had some challenges in our own garden. I'm no farmer. Some of you folks here might be farmers, but we thought we'd try and be more healthy as a family. So we got this veg box in the other year in the garden. And here's a picture of my daughter Freya, our wonderful nightmare. And one of the things that we grew in the veg box in the garden, it's actually, we named it two carrots having a cuddle. One carrot grew around the other carrot. We grew onions and they were brilliant. We grew carrots and they were good, but the soil wasn't deep enough, so they were all quite stunted in their growth. And we grew spuds and they were a disaster. They were absolutely awful. Nothing to do with the famine or any potato blight or anything like that. And I was talking to my neighbour. He's an expert on everything. He's the sort of person, he gives you unsolicited advice about anything and everything. Heart's in the right place, but an absolute nightmare. But anyway, He was telling me what went wrong, and he said, "You're a Scotsman, and you need to spend a bit more and get decent seed potatoes." And I have to confess, he was bang on, because I bought them in the pound shop, and the spuds were awful. They grew, there was loads of greenery, but the potatoes tasted absolutely disgusting, and it was a bit of a disaster. This morning, with your theme being, this theme for the year for the women being to grow and bear fruit, I thought we'd look at a story where Jesus teaches his apostles the importance of good fruit, and how good fruit, or good vegetables in her case, is really important. And although this is a PW service, in some ways primarily for the women, ladies, if you're sat beside a man this morning and he nods off or glazes over, you've my permission to give him a good slap. This is for all of us, because this is God's word. It's not just for women, it's for men as well. If you've got your Bibles there, turn with me to Luke chapter 6. It's the passage that Doris read earlier on. You want to keep an eye on that to make sure I don't veer off and start talking, making stuff up that the Bible says. You want to keep an eye on it, because when you see it in God's word, you know it's God speaking. Anything else is me speaking, and anything I say, you need to weigh up as to whether it's of God or not. And the only way you can do that is by comparing it with God's word. The background to this passage, to Luke chapter 6, is Jesus has been training up his apostles and his disciples. He's been training them up for when they would have to carry on his work when he's no longer with them. You know that the Easter story that we're coming up to, Christ's death, his resurrection, and then his ascension, that means his return to heaven. Well, Jesus is training up his apostles for when he ascends, when he returns to heaven, so that they can carry on his work. And the passage this morning, these three short verses, are part of the training that Jesus gives them. And in these verses, he gives them some really practical advice to help them in serving him on earth until he returns again. And this is good, because it's relevant to us. It was relevant to the apostles then, and it's also relevant to us, I believe, this morning. And what Jesus does is he begins by reminding them of a very simple life principle. And he says this, look at verse 43. He says, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars." Jesus, he was a master at really simple illustrations that helped to explain very important things. Here's another example of that. The Gospels are full of these examples. Here's an example of a really simple illustration that anyone can relate to, but one which has a really deep meaning as well, which everyone can benefit from. You don't need to be a farmer or an expert gardener to know that apples grow on apple trees and oranges grow on orange trees. If you search for an orange on an apple tree, you'll be searching a long time and you'll not find any. If you search for an apple on an orange tree again, you'll be searching a long time and you won't find any. Each fruit grows on its own type of plant. It's as simple as that. Each fruit grows on its own type of plant. We all know that. It's so obvious, even novice gardeners or really poor gardeners like myself know that bad trees, bad plants don't grow good fruit. Bad apples grow on bad apple trees. Bad orange trees produce bad oranges. And in both cases, farmers cut them down or cut them back. You don't want these bad trees or these bad plants, because you want a good harvest. You want good fruit to grow. But as interesting as that is, Jesus isn't giving us a gardening lesson this morning. It's not like that Radio 4 program that my dad loves to listen to. He's using this illustration of something that we all know, something that we can all connect with, in order to help us understand something that we all need to know, something that we all need to connect with. So what is it that this gardening illustration is pointing to? Well, it's simple. It's people. It's you, and it's me, and it's the people around you in the pews this morning, and it's the people around you in the town and further afield. Jesus was teaching his apostles on that day, and teaching all of his followers throughout history, including each and every one of us in here this morning, including each of ourselves, that people are like fruit trees. People are like fruit trees.
And we can see that clearly in verse 45, where Jesus explains his illustration more deeply and then points to two things which we'll look at over the next few minutes. The two things he points out are this: his followers must have wise judgment of others, examining what type of plant people are by the fruit that they see in their lives. And the second thing is followers must practice self-examination, closely looking at the fruit in their own lives to assess how healthy they are. So we'll spend a few minutes, just a few brief minutes, looking at these. Firstly, wise judgment. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. When I was a wee boy in Sunday school, I grew up in a little town called Broughty Ferry. Sounds like Portaferry, only it's a lot nicer than Portaferry, in my humble opinion. Broughty Ferry on the east coast of Scotland, just beside Dundee. I went to a super little church and was brought up in a brilliant little Sunday school. And Mrs. Lang, a really godly lady, she's in her 90s now, she taught us so much from God's word that sunk in deep. And one thing she taught us as a challenge that's never left me, and it was a simple one, is what goes in here and here comes out here and here. What goes in our eyes and our ears comes out eventually through our mouths and in our actions. What we listen to, what we look at, eventually influences what we say and what we do. It's a super little principle. If you remember one thing from this morning, remember that what our eyes and our ears take in will influence our words and our actions. And the reason Mrs. Lang so lovingly taught us that as kids was to remind us to be really careful from an early age about what things we allow to influence us in our lives. And that's what Jesus is essentially saying to his followers here. A good man or woman brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. He's saying as Christians, we need to be so careful about what we allow to influence us, about what we take in through our eyes and ears. Do you think about what you read in books or on blogs or posts on the internet? Do you think about what you watch in the TV or in the cinema or online? Do you think about what you listen to in the radio or conversations or podcasts or vlogs? Paul warns us in 1 Thessalonians 5 to stay away from every kind of evil. That's a pretty strong statement. Stay away from every kind of evil. He doesn't say it's okay to read evil, it's okay to watch evil, it's okay to listen to evil. No, he says to run from it, to flee from it. Why? Because what goes in here and here comes out here and here. That's why as Christians we need to have good judgment. I wonder, do you have good judgment this morning? We need to have good judgment, though we need to recognize that that's very different from having a judgmental attitude. Good judgment is important. Having a judgmental attitude, that is not good. If you want to look back a few verses to Luke chapter 6, verse 37, Jesus warns about not having a judgmental attitude. He says, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you'll not be condemned." In its context, in the context of verse 37, Jesus is telling his followers not to take on the role of God for themselves and to judge others, condemning them to hell, writing them off altogether. He's reminding them that that was his business. Only he could do that because only he could see what the heart was really like. He was saying that they were to love others and to not live judgmentally of others. But verse 45 from what we see today shows us that while we're not to have judgmental attitudes towards others, condemning them in the way that only God is allowed to, we must still have wise judgment and discernment about other people. We must be people who weigh up what we hear and what we see and assess whether it's coming from a good source or whether it's coming from a bad source. Because only then will we know what a good influence is in our lives, what's a helpful influence, or what's actually a bad influence. I love watching documentaries. My wife finds me a nightmare to watch TV with. She loves rom-coms and all that sort of rubbish. I love the news. I could watch the news 24/7, and I love documentaries. And I watched one fairly recently about North Korea. And I have a fascination with North Korea. It's interesting all that's happening with the Americans and the Koreans at the moment. But there was this reporter who was in North Korea, and he was being shown round, and it's really tight there. The state control everything. They couldn't just go off to wherever they wanted to. They couldn't wander about. They had minders with them. And they were showing these amazing buildings and these amazing schools and hospitals. And the reporter was like, these are all actors. This is all fake. He could see right through it. It was just there to make the country look good. And at one point, he was filming from a distance at the front of this fruit shop, this fruit and veg shop. And the produce in the window looked phenomenal. To a person like me who prefers meat to vegetables, the look of the vegetables looked so good, even I would have been up for them. And he was filming it, and it looked amazing. And he went slightly closer to get a closer shot. And as he went closer and zoomed in with his camera, he realized that actually all of the fruit and vegetables was fake. And as soon as he mentioned that to the minders, the camera was taken off him, and he was bundled away back into the hotel. Jesus is telling his followers that just as you know how healthy a tree is by the fruit it grows, it's the same with people. As followers of Jesus, we must judge the fruit that we see in other people's lives in order to know if we should or shouldn't be influenced by them. And what standard should we judge the fruit in other people's lives against? We judge the fruit in others' lives by comparing that to what God tells us is healthy in His Word, the Bible. Because it's only through His Word that we hear Him speak. It's only through His Word that we know the standard. And when we see fake fruit or rotten fruit or fruit that has a wormhole in it, then we must avoid it because it's a clear sign that something unhealthy is happening in that plant, in that life. A tree we shouldn't be eating from is one which bears fruit that's rotten or fake or unhealthy. That's a person that we shouldn't allow ourselves to be influenced by. So that's the first part. But what about the second part, the self-examination? The second thing we see in verse 45 is that as well as the need to have wise judgment about others, not being judgmental, but having wise judgment, we also need to carefully examine the fruit in our own lives to see how spiritually healthy we are. Second half of verse 45, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. When Seamus and I and the others were training up in Union College, we'd have to now and again preach to the class, and it was the most daunting experience ever. But worse than actually preaching to the class was they gave you a DVD, a video home with you, so you could watch yourself preaching. And watching myself preaching, as you're experiencing now, wasn't a pretty experience at all. You saw what you were really like. You saw your mannerisms and the fact the right hand kept moving about and you didn't have a wild lot of control over it. You saw the fact that you kept touching your nose, and you'll pick up on that I do that regularly throughout the service. You saw the weak points and the distracting points and the frustrating points. You saw yourself as others would see you. Before watching that, I thought I was Billy Graham. I thought I had everything sorted and was wonderful. But then when I was faced with a reality, it wasn't a pretty picture. It hasn't improved much since then either. Jesus makes this simple statement in order to show us how to both assess others and also assess our own lives. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. In order to examine our own hearts, we don't need open heart surgery or keyhole surgery or anything like that. Jesus makes it clear that if we take time to listen to ourselves, then we'll see the full picture, 4K or whatever the latest TVs are, crystal clear color. We'll see exactly what our hearts are like inside. And he's not just talking about listening to ourselves when we're on show, when we're in front of others. We can all put on an act. We can all be like the North Koreans. and put on an act and sound really good and sound really wise and sound very, very godly. But we need to also listen to ourselves when others aren't about. We need to listen to ourselves when no one's there to hear what we are thinking deep in our minds. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. I wonder this morning, what is your heart full of? No matter how young or how old you are, no matter whether you're a member of the PW or a member of this congregation, or maybe just you've rolled up here this morning, not sure why you're here. What's your heart full of? And does it have rotten parts in it? If you sit there and you say, no, my heart doesn't have rotten parts in it, that's a sure sign that it does. So assess yourself carefully. Listen to the words of your thoughts. Does something need to be done about it? The difference between producing good fruit and producing bad fruit, the difference between having a good heart and having a bad heart, it doesn't come down to us. So take comfort in that this morning, because you could well be thinking, boy, have I messed up my life. Boy, is my life producing the worst fruit possible. And I know that, and there's no way I can resolve it. Well, actually, you're right. There's no way you can resolve it. But the amazing thing is, it doesn't come down to you. We don't change our hearts, and we can't change the fruit we produce. The Bible clearly teaches that all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us have done wrong, and because of that wrong, we're separated from God. A glass of water with one drop of poison in it is just as dangerous as a glass of water with 10 drops of poison in it. There's no point in the one drop arguing, well, I'm not as bad as the 10 drops. Both are deadly. Without Christ, we're all bad trees, and ultimately we can only produce bad fruit. We can fake it up, we can tart it up to make it look as good as possible. We can make it look good on the surface, but it's North Korean style fruit. It's deeply warped when you cut into it. So what's the solution? Where's the hope? Because I don't want you going home broken like that. For those who don't know Jesus, well, it's simple. You need to come to him, and you need to ask for his forgiveness, and you need to ask for him to transform you, transform your life from being one that produces bad fruit on a bad tree to being a life that is a good tree producing good fruit. And when you do that, when you ask him, he will do that for you. He won't deny you that. He's done it in my life, and he's done it in the lives of so many people here this morning. And he'll do the same with you if you simply ask him, if you simply come to him. Ask for forgiveness for where you've got it wrong, and ask him to transform you and to put it all right, and he will. And for those of us who do love Jesus, but when we self-assess, when we take time to listen to our own words, we recognize that there is still bad stuff in our hearts. What do we need to do? What we need to do is simple. Just like the others, we also need to come back to Jesus and to ask for forgiveness for where we've got it wrong, and to ask him to fix the problem. If you fix the problem yourself, you'll paper over the cracks. You'll not sort it out deep in the heart. But I leave you this morning with the words of one writer who puts it so wonderfully. He says, sometimes we need to stop trying so hard to live the Christian life and start allowing Christ to live through us. Sometimes we need to stop trying so hard to live the Christian life and start allowing Christ to live through us. Stop trying to do it on your own. Start allowing Christ to live through you, to change you, to transform you, to make you into the person he wants you to be, so that you can bear good fruit on this earth until he returns. And when he returns, you'll be ready. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, all of us here struggle this morning. And I pray that you would give us good judgment and discernment in our lives over what we allow to influence us. Help us to be careful and to flee from evil. Help us to have a filter and to know what's right and what's wrong. And not just in the relation with others, Lord. Help us to have that for ourselves. Help us to be people who self-assess, who by the guidance of your Spirit can listen to our own words and see what our own hearts are like. And on the back of that, help us to be people who run to you, not fleeing from you, recognizing that we're all prodigals and the loving Father has his arms wide open and is running towards us. Thank you that when we've got it wrong, if we come genuinely, repentantly, asking for your forgiveness, you forgive us. And not only do you wipe the slate clean, you give us a whole new slate. You give us a new heart. You transform us. You give us the second chance and the third chance, and you keep on giving because you love us so much you sent Christ to save us. Transform us, we pray, so that we may grow and bear good fruit for Christ's glory and for his kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.